welcome to NC Spin, an unrehearsed discussion about issues of interest to North Carolina. Now here's the host of NC Spin, Tom Campbell.
Thank you for tuning in this week's NC Spin. A record-shattering number of voters is turning out to cast ballots in person or by mail. Why so many? And which party does it benefit? We ask our panel to give you their spin on this and other election news. And we go deep in looking at legislative races and give our take on who might control our House and Senate come January. Our panel this week includes Anna Bevan Gravely, the Executive Director of NC Free, Dennis Wicker, former Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, John Hood, syndicated columnist and author, and Chris Fitzsimon, Director of the State's Newsroom. We'll begin our uninterrupted discussion after these brief messages from our underwriters.
Your life is more flexible and efficient than ever, and your energy is too. See how North Carolina's electric cooperatives are building a brighter future for the rural communities we serve at ncelectriccooperatives.com/brighter.
The big issue in 2020 is healthcare. Let's talk basics. You are the key to your own personal health, but there is strong evidence that if you have a relationship with a family physician, your quality of life will be better. You'll likely live longer, and you'll have 33% lower healthcare costs. Your family doctor knows you, has your medical history, and can quickly diagnose health problems. Family Physicians, your trusted healthcare advisor for life.
Government plays a key role in your life, affecting your paycheck, the way you educate your kids, the way you do business. How can you tell if government is doing a good job, making the right choices, spending tax dollars wisely? CarolinaJournal.com tackles those questions every day. The John Locke Foundation publishes Carolina Journal in print each month and on the web each day at CarolinaJournal.com. You'll find exclusive investigative reports on topics no one else is covering. What else? A rundown of the best news stories, editorials, and opinion columns in North Carolina. John Hood's Daily Journal. News stories and important public events at CarolinaJournal.tv. And the voices of the newsmakers themselves at Carolina Journal Radio. In print, on the air, and on the web, you can find the information you need at CarolinaJournal.com.
We now return to NC Spin.
Let's begin the spin. Before we get to the legislative races, there are election developments we need to discuss. Dennis, I want to ask you, well over 2.1 million voters have already cast their ballots either in person at early voting sites or by mail. This is a record number. Why are so many so motivated to vote so early?
Well, Tom, there are many reasons, I suspect, why people are turning out in record pace in this election. But I think the main ones are, first, this is really a national election. I think it's a referendum on President Trump. Number two, there are clear choices between the two presidential candidates. I think that energizes the base of both parties. Three, I think that there's a congressional and legislative redistricting going on this year, next year, when the legislature meets, the legislatures across the country. And fourth, of course, there's the pandemic, and people want to beat the crowds coming to the polls on election day, so they're voting early. So I would say this. Here's what I think the deal is, the bottom line. Usually high voter turnout is not positive for the party that's in power. And so I think people really are looking for a change in direction. We'll see.
All right. AB, 80% of the vote will be in the barn, so to speak, by election day. Does this mean you think we're going to be able to get election returns November 3rd?
I think it definitely increases the likelihood of us getting full results that night. My big concern and the thing that I think is going to really hold things up is the litigation around the results in these elections.
Ah, Chris. Of the people who have voted, we now have some demographic information. 42% of them are Democrats, 29% of them are Republicans, 29% are unaffiliated. Women make up 53% of those casting early votes, and blacks 21%. Do these statistics sway you one way or the other as to what the outcome might be?
No, I mean, I do think I agree with Dennis a little bit. I think that it feels a little bit like this is a Democratic enthusiasm, maybe a little higher. But remember, more Democrats are likely to vote early and vote absentee than Republicans. The African-American vote is a little higher, I think, than yes. some people might have expected. But maybe we'll see what the overall percentage is when all the votes are tallied. I do think it's fascinating that we are, you know, we're pretty soon going to have over 50% of the eligible voters in North Carolina. I've registered voters actually vote early. So it's sort of astounding. And I think the pandemic plays a big role in this. A lot of people are concerned. The cases are still going up. They're worried the closer we get. So it's a fascinating election year. I do think there's a lot more enthusiasm on one side, however.
John, we talk about this every week, but there's more news this week. Some 10,000 of these ballots are what they call soiled ballots, meaning they don't have witness signatures or some other imperfection. Is there going to be any redress for these people with the spoiled ballots? Can we get the ballots, new ballots out to them and back in time for November 3rd?
Yes, this issue has now been resolved. It's no longer being litigated, and there's a full agreement on all parties. The people who don't have witness signatures or those kinds of things are going to have to cast a new ballot, but there's time to do that, and the Board of Elections is reaching out to them. And then for other kinds of minor problems, information on the wrong line, that there is an attestation solution. Let me just say real quick about the current early vote numbers. I couldn't disagree more with Chris about what they mean. I'm not sure that they mean the Republicans are doing great, but it certainly is not good for the Democrats. They're down from 4 years ago. The African-American percentage is lower than it was 4 years ago. Now, there are some reasons to think the Republicans' sort of early enthusiasm or satisfaction with these numbers is a bit premature, but Democrats don't feel good about these numbers. They look a little scary right now.
Dennis, let's look at that Senate race. It's the most expensive U.S. Senate race in the country. Something like over $340 million has been spent on this race. The race is still close, according to polls. The latest ECU poll was out this week, and it showed a very close race. Cunningham is leading slightly, but there are members of the far-right Republicans who just aren't happy with Tom Tillis. Is that going to have an impact?
Tom, I think it's going to have an impact. As I talk to my Republican friends, they just quite don't understand why the far right has not embraced Tom Tillis in this election. It's very obvious to them that they have not. That's not going to help the senator. And despite the scandal that Cunningham has faced, he is apparently surviving that so far. It's a very strange election, and the money they have raised is mind-blowing to me.
It is indeed. AB, this is a very, very long ballot. When I went to vote, I heard people saying they just zipped in and zipped out. I don't know how they did it because it's a pretty long ballot. Are voters going to get all the way to the end, or are we going to have voter fatigue and they're just going to forget some of the races down at the bottom?
Well, I know that the people at the end of the ballot are very much hoping that voters get to the end and can cast their vote for those individuals. I think there's a lot of energy around not just the top of the ticket, but also those at the bottom, specifically the judges. There's been a lot more advertising for judges, and they're on the ballot for the first time, for many of these candidates, first time with a party affiliation.
Let's move to the legislative races. All 120 seats in the House of Representatives are up for election. Currently, there are 65 Republicans, 55 Democrats. Democrats would like to take control of the House, but at the minimum, they want to keep the veto-proof majority they now hold. Let me just explain to our viewers that this panel has worked cooperatively together throughout the week, not from a standpoint of talking about individual candidates in individual races, but to try to help identify those races we felt like were most significant and might have some ultimate impact over the election. No way we can cover 120 of them, but we do want to get some of the ones that we think may be fairly significant. Let's get started on that. Chris Fitzsimon, let's go up to Northeastern North Carolina, District 1. Ed Goodwin is facing Emily Bunch Nicholson, the Democrat. Goodwin's a Republican. What do we know about that race? How do we handicap it?
Well, it's an interesting race. Ed Goodwin is a first-term incumbent, which always make that's when you're the most vulnerable as a legislator running. It's a retired military person running against Emily Bunch Nicholson, a first-term, first effort she's had running for office, a mother of three. The Northeast is a place, and we'll talk about that later in the Senate race. The Democrats believe they can possibly gain both in the House and the Senate. It's one of the interesting areas of the state we have to watch on election night.
For many years, it was solid Democratic. Then it went solid Republican. Anna Bevin, let's move to Pitt County. This is an interesting race. This is Greg Murphy's old seat. Brian Farkas is facing Perrin Jones. Perrin was appointed to replace Greg when he ran for the Congress. This seat now leans sort of Democratic, doesn't it?
It does. One thing that I find really interesting about this race is that there is this is certainly a bellwether race in the House, and there's a lot of support and energy from the House caucus for Dr. Perrin Jones to hold this seat. He's been really instrumental in all of the COVID conversations at a state level. But Brian Farkas is a candidate that has been backed heavily by nearly every group on the left.
John,
so it's a fight.
John, let's move down to District 12. That's Lenoir in Pitt County. We're still in that area. Chris Humphrey is the incumbent running against Virginia Cox Daughtry. This is a relatively newly redrawn district. Is it still leaning Republican?
Yes. I'd be very surprised if this particular race goes Democratic. I mentioned earlier that statewide the share, not the total votes, but the share of the votes cast by Democrats early is actually lower than 4 years ago. The Republican number is not much different than 4 years ago. But if you look at particular locations, and I think this is one of them, I think Republicans are reasonably optimistic about this race.
Dennis, let's move over to District 24. That's in Wilson County. Linda Cooper Suggs is running against Mick Rankin. This was the former Butterfield seat. What do we know about that one, 24?
Well, I think this seat is more of an African-American district than not. And, of course, Butterfield was African-American. I would edge this race toward the D, okay, the Democrat side, because of that factor.
All right. A.B. in Wake County. Interesting race. Sidney Batch, the Democrat, is running against Aaron, I think I'm pronouncing this correct, Paré, the Republican. Handicap that one.
Yeah, Aaron Paré is a really strong candidate for Republicans to put up in this district. And honestly, I think she's the best chance that Republicans have for having a seat in Wake County. And an interesting factoid on this, that Sidney Batch is on the ballot as Miss Sidney Batch. And I think that's largely so that it's a clear competition between two females.
Interesting. I did not realize that because I'm not in that district. Chris, let's move over to District 43 in Cumberland County. Some interesting races in Cumberland County. Kimberly Hardy is running against Diane Wheatley. This is a redrawn district. So how is it leaning?
Well, it's really interesting. There's no incumbent in that race because Elmer Floyd was a Democratic incumbent, and Kimberly Hardy, who's a professor at Fable State, actually beat Representative Floyd in the Democratic primary. So it's interesting that is happening, running against Diane Wheatley, who has run for the legislature before as a Republican. Cumberland County is another one of those areas. We'll hear again when we talk about Senate races. If there's five or six, seven sort of geographic areas of focus, Cumberland County is clearly one. I do believe the Democrats have an edge here, but this is one of those interesting Cumberland County races we'll keep talking about.
John, we're going to stay in Cumberland. District 45, John Soka is running against Francis Vanell Jackson. We understand this district's in play.
It is in play. Jackson teaches at Fayetteville Tech. Zoke, of course, is the incumbent, a retired colonel from the U.S. Army. Chris is right about Cumberland County being important. And as I said earlier, it's a little dangerous to take a lot of predictive value from early votes that may be different this year in terms of patterns. But Cumberland is unlike, say, Wake and Mecklenburg, which are looking a little Democratic this year in terms of the early vote. Cumberland may be a little bit overperforming for the Republicans. We'll see.
All right, Chris. Down in Robeson County, District 47 there, Charles Graham, the Democrats running against Olivia Oxendine. This is another one of those redrawn districts. Leans Democratic. Is that the way it's going to turn out?
I think leaning Democratic and having a Democratic incumbent makes it probably an edge for the Democrats. Olivia Oxendine is a Republican activist, former member of the State Board of Elections, a little bit of a cloud around her performance there. Very closely contested race.
All right, let's move over to District 59, Guilford County. We've got incumbent John Hardister running against Nicole Quick. Anna Bevan, handicap that one.
Yeah, this is another one of those races very similar to the Perrin Jones and Brian Farkas race. This is also a bellwether for the House. John Hardister is in the fight of his life trying to hold this seat. Nicole Quick is a strong candidate that is heavily backed by Democrats.
Dennis, let's move over into your part of the world, Montgomery and Richmond and Stanley counties down in the southeastern part of the state. District 66, we got Scott Brewer, incumbent Democrat, against Ben Moss. This is Ken Goodman's old seat.
Yeah, Scott Brewer is a hard campaigner, former judge, district court judge there, attorney, of course, well-respected and an incumbent. Ben Moss is someone who the Republicans believe have a good chance of taking the seat and flipping it. I would say it's a toss-up with a slight edge maybe to Brewer.
District 74 is where we go next. That's Forsyth County. Jeff Zenger is running against Dan Bessie. This is an open seat. Chris, handicap it.
Well, Dan Bessie, a Winston-Salem councilman who has run for lieutenant governor before, was actually one of the handful of candidates endorsed by President Obama to help. I think that'll probably help us turn out. Jeff Zenger is a Republican, former local official, sort of on the, I think, more conservative or far right side of the political spectrum. This is a fascinating race. I think you really have a distinct different in ideologies here, maybe more so than some of these races.
John, we'll move over to Cabarrus County now, District 82. Kristen Baker is running against Amy Steele. This was the Linda Johnson seat, and Baker was appointed after the primary elections. Handicap it.
Baker is the, quote, incumbent, though not really. She's a doctor. She's running against a former school principal. This is a race that I would be surprised if the Republicans lose. Cabarrus County, while it certainly has not been, it's been trending a little blue recently, it is still a Republican-leaning area. So I think that they will win this seat. But if this seat goes down, for example, if you're watching the election results on Tuesday night, on election day of the 3rd, and this race looks really close to them, that would be a bellwether.
Interesting. Let me stay with you. And on House District 93, we get up to Ash and Watauga County. Ray Russell is running against Ray Pickett. Handicap that one.
Pickett, I think, is a good recruit for the Republicans. He's a former local official in Blowing Rock, a business owner. This is a district that has been competitive many times in the past. As I've said earlier, the early vote, if we're going to draw any conclusions from them, we should recognize that the more urban types of counties tend to be doing very blue, and some of the other places a little redder. This is one of the places where the Republicans have some early optimism that maybe in Watauga County, Republicans will be overperforming.
AB, I got a couple of Mecklenburg counties for you. Let's start with 98. We've got Christy Clark running against John Bradford. Christy's the incumbent Democrat there. Is it going to stay blue?
Yeah, this is one of the two races that we're going to, this one and the race that I'm going to talk about next in Mecklenburg, where we have incumbents who have are trying to hold their seat against candidates who lost in 18, and John Bradford is one of those. I definitely think that there's a massive fundraising advantage for the Democrats, and despite the Republican lean of the district, it will be a Democrat win.
Got Rachel Hunt and Bob Brawley, Robert Brawley at 103 district. Brawley obviously has legislative experience. Rachel Hunt has a pedigree. Is she going to keep that seat?
Just like the previous race, I think this is also going to be a race that goes toward Democrats, and she's able to hold it with Brawley coming back trying to reclaim his seat.
John, staying in Mecklenburg County in seat number 105, we've got Wesley Harris running against Amy Byram. What can you tell us?
That seat will almost certainly stay with the Democrats. Mm-hmm. In fact, the seats that Anna Bevan talked about are more competitive.
And Dennis, over in the far western part of the state, District 119, this has been an off-again, on-again contest for years in Haywood and Jackson County. Josam Queen and Mike Clampett. Josam Queen is the current incumbent there. Is he going to hold his seat?
Groundhog Day, Tom. They go back and forth all the time. I would say that in that area, people I talk to up there in those mountains, they're going to stick with Joe Sam this time. I think I'd give him the edge in that race.
All right, I want to go around very quickly. Who's going to hold control of the House? Don't need a lengthy discussion here. Who's going to control the House? John?
I believe the Republicans will end up still with a majority in the House.
Chris?
I think by very narrow margins, most likely Republicans, but that doesn't mean they'll have the speakership. I think there's all sorts of craziness happening behind the scenes.
All right, Dennis?
We'll stick my neck out a little bit and pull for the Democrats on this one slightly. I think they'll win it a couple of votes.
Anna Bevin.
I think it'll be Republicans with 62 seats.
All right, let's move over to the Senate. We want to focus on the upper chamber of the legislature. Currently, the Senate has 29-21 split with Republicans in control. Democrats have targeted 8 districts to win a majority. They'd need 5 seats to take control, or 4 if the lieutenant governor is a Democrat. Let's take a look at that, John, beginning in Senate District 1, which is up in the northeastern part of the state. Bob Steinberg is running for re-election against Jess Judge. I understand polls show Judge might be ahead.
Well, it depends on whose polls. Tess Judge is, I think, a pretty good recruit for the Democrats for this race. She's been involved in civic affairs in the Northeast quite a bit. Steinberg is a former House member trying to hold this Senate seat. This is one of the areas, as you mentioned earlier, Tom, though it is, quote, a rural area, it's a little bit different in terms of demographics and the number of non-native voters. And so it's an area the Republicans have some concern, but still a good chance of pulling it out.
There are some who say New Hanover County might be the bellwether county in North Carolina so far as who controls the vote in North Carolina, in the state. Let's move to Senate District 9. Harper Peterson is running against Mike Lee. Harper, the incumbent there. Dennis, what can you tell us?
Well, you said it best, Tom. This is a bellwether race with Harper being the incumbent. You might have remembered that there was a hospital issue there about the sale of the hospital.
Right,
Harper Peterson
right.
was in the middle of that. So, you know, I think that's still an edge to Harper Peterson, in my opinion, given that district's demographics.
All right, Chris, let's move over to Senate District 11, Johnson, Nash County. We've got Lisa Stone Barnes moving over from the House, running against Alan Wellens, who was formerly a senator. This is an open seat, however. I understand it's fairly close.
Well, it is close, but I think the Democrats really were hoping for this one, and they still might get it. Republicans were a little panicked. They're spending maybe more in this race, given its size and its slightly rural or suburban nature. This to me, if the Democrats win this one, they will win control of the Senate. That doesn't mean they will win it without it, but this is a very key race.
All right, let's get Franklin Wayne County, Anna Bevin. We've got Larry Norman running against Sari Crawford. This is the old Johnny Mac Alexander seat. It seems to be tending blue. What do you think?
Yeah, this is one of the races or one of the districts that has been is leaning more toward Democrat through the process of redistricting. And Sari Crawford is very likely candidate to win this and has run again from her race in 14, where she was the most expensive Senate race in the state.
All right, over to Senate 19, John. This is Cumberland County again. Interesting politics down there. Wesley Meredith is running against Kurt Devier. I always mispronounce that name. The Democrat incumbent. How's it look?
Devier is a former member of the Fayetteville City Council. He's defending this seat. This is a rematch from 2 years ago. And as I said earlier, Cumberland County, and Chris did too, Cumberland County is sort of more important this year than almost any other county as far as legislative control. This is an area where the Republicans have hopes that they can regain a seat.
Interesting. District 24, Alamance and Guilford County. We've got Amy Gailey running against J.D. Wooten. Chris, understand this race is close.
It is close. This is another one of those sort of traditionally Republican areas that's become more Democratic. The Democrats need this one, I think. They have two, I think they're counting on. There's a couple more they think are close. And then this one is sort of the next tier. If it's a big Democratic year, it's not an Alderman possibility, but clearly it begins as a slight Republican edge, I think.
All right, Dennis, we go up to 31 now, which is Forsyth and Davie County. Joyce Kravick is running against Terry LeGrand. A lot of people feel like this could be a bellwether race in this Senate contest.
It is a bellwether race. My Republican friends I talk to do feel like that Kravick has a uphill battle on this one, Tom, even though she's the incumbent. They're telling me that they think their opponent's going to win, that LeGrand's going to be there.
Okay, Anna Bevin, let's go down to Mecklenburg County again. Interesting races there. We've got Sonia Nichols running against Jeff Jackson, and she's giving him a run for the money.
Yeah, this is one of the most interesting races, I think, because this previous district with Jeff Jackson was a strong Democrat district, and through redistricting has become a more competitive race. And Sonia Nichols is probably the best candidate they could have put up against, Republicans could have put up against Jeff Jackson.
Wealthy, very active in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. But over to 39 Senate District, Joshua Nide is running against DeAndrea Salvador. This is the old Dan Bishop seat. My understanding is it's leaning D, Dennis.
That's my understanding. I don't know much about Salvador, but I know that this is a very contested race, and we'll see how it comes out.
All right, I want to go around the horn again. There is speculation that if one of the houses is going to flip, it's going to be the Senate. Tell me, who's going to control the Senate at the end of November 3rd? John?
I still think the Republicans will end up with a slight edge. The Democrats are certainly going to pick up two seats. We've already mentioned both of those seats. I think it's a slight edge.
All right, Chris.
I think it'll either be 26-24 Democrats or maybe most likely 25-25 with a lieutenant governor casting the deciding vote.
Could be interesting. Dennis.
I say 25-25 with the lieutenant governor casting the
deciding vote. Wow, and Anna Bevin.
I definitely think Republicans are going to be able to hold this, but it's going to be a very slim margin.
These legislative races are important, and they're going to be interesting, and I hope you follow them. Well, you've heard our spin on the issues of the day. To stay informed all during the week, sign up for our free weekly email newsletter. Give your feedback and read my weekly column. Visit our website, ncspin.com, and catch us on NC Spin on Facebook. And we're going to give you the full skinny as we come back next week. Stay informed and watch out for the spin.
Your life is more flexible and efficient than ever. And your energy is too. See how North Carolina's electric cooperatives are building a brighter future for the rural communities we serve at ncelectriccooperatives.com/brighter.
The big issue in 2020 is healthcare. Let's talk basics. You are the key to your own personal health, but there is strong evidence that if you have a relationship with a family physician, your quality of life will be better. You'll likely live longer, and you'll have 33% lower healthcare costs. Your family doctor knows you, has your medical history, and can quickly diagnose health problems. Family Physicians, your trusted healthcare advisor for life.
Join us next week and get the spin on issues facing our state. For more information or to learn how to contact us, visit our website, ncspin.com. NC Spin is a copyrighted production of Carolina Broadcasting System, Incorporated.